Amen. If you'll take your Bibles and open up to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 127. We're going to be reading our passage of scripture today, Psalm chapter 127, and we're going to read the entire chapter. There's four or five verses there, and so if you've got your Bibles, let's go together. Psalm 127, beginning of verse 1, says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. You know, scientists tell us that sleep is very, very important. And it seems like that we are a nation that is lacking sleep. The older I get, the more sleep seems to evade me. Maybe you have seen that in your own life. Maybe for some of you, it may be the 12 a.m. Taco Bell burrito that is keeping you up. Could be the 4 a.m. Or the four monsters you had yesterday just to try to keep going through. For others of us, it's you're trying to cram a whole month of work into 1 week. You know, we think we can do so much when in reality, there's only so much that we are able to accomplish. You know, I struggle with sleep sometimes, and what I've noticed is the times that I struggle with sleep the most often is when I think that I can handle something that's really not mine to handle. You know, you want to be a fixer. I know a lot of men are fixers, and ladies, you have a caring heart, and you're trying to do something that physically or in all reality, you can't do. You can't fix it. Or I've also found in my own life that as a pastor, there are things that I think, man, I want to cram this in. I've got to get this done. And this thing is all up to me. And then I've had to step back and realize and know throughout the years of ministry that, whoa, this is the Lord's work. This is only Him that can do these things. I don't know where you are, but you probably at some point in your life have been sleep deprived. Maybe you're even there. Maybe it's something that is ongoing and you're thinking, I need to get a new mattress or a new pillow or a new set of sheets. How about we take a few moments right here and we begin to look. What does the scripture have to say? It could be a new mattress and a new pillow, all right? But let's kind of look at what the Lord has to say here, because Solomon, who is the writer of this psalm, Psalm 127, he talks about sleep, and he talks about us being anxious and looking for sleep. And he wants us to begin to understand that all the endeavors that we go to and that we're all about trying to find and make sure that we're covering all the bases, that unless the Lord is involved in it, it's going to lead us to nowhere, right? It's what the scripture has to say. So today, I want to spend, and I do mean quickly, I want to quickly walk through 127 here because there's some things I want to talk about that have to do with this coming year and what it is that we are going to be about. Some of you are going, wait a minute, this coming year, it's August. Well, traditionally in churches, with the start of a new school year, you have the start of a new church year. When we launch all kinds of programs, people are re-engaging. And so I want us to begin to think about what does that mean for us. If you've got a pen, a piece of paper, a thumb, and some notes, I don't know how you do that, but a couple of points that I think I want us to see that Solomon writes here. The first one is this, is that I want us to talk about what it means to build a house, because we are about building a house. So Solomon here in this passage, specifically, in context of the scripture, if you're looking at Psalm 127, I hope that you can see this in your Bible somewhere. There's a title, it says A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Solomon wrote this, and the Song of Ascents are 15 psalms that begin in Psalm 120 and go through Psalm 134. Typically, what would happen is when the children of God would go to Jerusalem and they would travel up to Jerusalem. You know, in the scripture, when it says we're going to go up to Jerusalem, Jerusalem does sit on a mountain. It is an elevated place. That's why it was such a protected place and easier, much easier to defend. So as they would go up, they would sing these songs of ascent that Solomon, specifically Psalm 127, had written. It's also told that there are the 15 last steps walking into the temple. The priest, as they would walk up those steps, they would stop at each one and they would sing. Remember, psalms or poems or songs, and they would sing Psalm 120. Then they'd take another step and they would sing Psalm 121. They would do this all the way as they were going into the temple. So Solomon is writing here, and in the context, he's specifically writing a psalm of ascent as you go to the house. But I want you to notice how he addresses this. What he's saying here is he's talking about a house that one would build. Now, there's a couple of ways this could be looked at. It could be looked at as a physical house, which I think that has implications to what you're building, because he talks about next a city that someone is overwatching. It could be also about the house of the Lord, the temple. Obviously, it's a song of ascent, but it also could be he's talking about a people. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, you'll read about the house of Israel. Now, there wasn't a physical house of Israel. It was the people of God, about the house that was to be built. And so here what Solomon is writing about and what he wants us to begin to see really quickly is this, is that unless the Lord is involved in something, it's going to be in vain. Notice in verse 1 and 2, at the end, he says here at the end right in the middle of verse 1. How about put that back on the screen? It says, unless the Lord builds the house, notice he says, those who build it labor in vain. He says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The implication here is that we're working. You know, you're not getting out of work, right? Many people think that work was the curse. Work is a gift. Work is a gift of the Lord. This is why people who don't work are always busy about trying to figure out, what can I do? How do I fill my time? Do you know the Lord has created you to work? He gave Adam a job long before the fall of man in Genesis chapter 2. He put him in the garden to work and to keep it, to care and to cultivate it. And then he gave Eve to Adam to be a helper to do that alongside with him. You see, we've always been about work, and the curse was that our work was going to become hard and arduous, and the land would not produce, and it would be by the sweat of the brow. You see, if you're working today, it is a gift of the Lord. It's not a curse. He's given you a gift. Now, the problem is, for many of us, we think that that's our first job. You realize your very first job is your home. It's your house. So, men, ladies, if you're working and you pull into the driveway, you're really clocking out of your second job and going to your first job. Your first job is your home. And do you realize that for the rest of your life, or until Jesus comes back, calls us home, whichever it is, that you are going to be working? Some of you are going, not me, I'm going to retire. Well, if you choose to retire, if the Lord allows that, do you realize you're still going to be working? You have homes to care for. You have families to care for, because he's talking about houses. He could be talking here literally about a physical house. He's talking about a family, a household, that work matters. And I want you to see this verse 1. Notice in verse 1, twice in verse 1, you can circle, underline, highlight, whatever it is. He says, unless the Lord builds the house. Secondly, he says, unless the Lord watches over the city. Unless the Lord does this. Now listen, we're working. He's called us to work. He's given us all tasks and jobs, their gifts. So us working is a given. But he says, unless the Lord does it, it's all in vain. You can build what you want to build. You can sell what you want to sell. You can watch over what you want to watch over. You can have your house camered and lit all around, but unless the Lord watches over it, unless the Lord does that, he says, it's in vain. Now, Solomon, the one who wrote this, he loved the word vain. in Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you know this. King Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, most believe, at the end of his life, after he had had all of this wisdom, he had done all of these things. And if you've not read Ecclesiastes, you say, some of you may be going, I've read it, but boy, it sure is a downer. You need to keep reading it. You need to read it over and over and over because it is true to life. It's true to life. 40 times he uses the word vain or vanity in Ecclesiastes. And now here he is writing five verses, and in two of them he uses vain three times. He's wanting us to see something. When Solomon uses the word vain, it means fleeting, vapor, nothingness, falsehood, empty. You're right, that is kind of a downer, isn't it? Do you catch what he's saying here? He's saying, listen, it doesn't, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's doing it, and it's going to be empty. It's going to be worthless. It's going to be false. Well, wait a minute. I see the house. Surely, I've built a nice house. Listen, we can do a lot of things, but ultimately what Solomon wants us to see that as children of God, as his people, because this is who he was writing to, this is what it's all about, he's writing to you and me, that unless the Lord does it, all of our work, unless we give it to the Lord, unless it's ultimately for his glory, for his namesake, this is why Paul would tell us that we work as unto the Lord. We work as unto the Lord. Because whatever it is that we do, baking, sewing, gardening, building, accounting, sales, it doesn't matter. You may be the best salesman in the world, but if you're doing it for your glory, for your pocketbook, for your future, it's all in vain. It's all going to be fleeting. It's nothing. You mean, Kyle, you mean all of this that I have is for, it's nothing, he says. Don't store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and thieves can come. You see, he says, we can do this in vain. For 20 years, our students have gone to a youth camp and that we do every year. It's incredible. The theme verse of it is 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat, whether you drink, do everything. Everything's pretty encompassing, isn't it? Do all. When the scripture says all, it means all. It does not matter what we do unless the Lord is in it, over it, and receiving glory for it. It's all vanity. It's all vain. And you know what ends up happening at that point? He goes on to say this. He says, when that happens, you are also, it also is vanity because we stay up. We get up way too early. We stay awake way too late. Listen, this isn't just talking about the high school senior who's trying to cram for his last test. This isn't about the one who's got a presentation that is, man, I've put this off and I've got to nail this sale. This is about the one who thinks it's all on me. I can handle it. I got it. You can cram your schedule so full. Technology is wonderful. Do you know what it's so wonderful for? It's caused us to think that we can run faster, jump higher. I can get more done in these 7 days. And we can't. We can't. We've not been designed for that. It leads to 12 a.m. burritos from Taco Bell and four monsters. It leads to us burning the candle at both ends and then setting the wick on fire that's left over. It can't happen. Yet we think that it can. Notice in verse 2, though, Solomon points us towards another gift. Notice what he says in verse 2. He points us, he says, those who are building the house, those who are watching over the city, with the Lord, he's the one in charge, he's over it, he gives his beloved what? Sleep. He gives them sleep. This verse is written in such a way that it really can have two meanings. It can mean that he gives those that he loves actual sleep, but it's also written in such a way that it has the meaning of while you're sleeping, he's the one doing the working. You know what he's saying right here? The one who never sleeps, the one who never slumbers, the one who is in charge of all, while you are asleep, He's taking care of the business that you think you can handle. This is the whole principle of, I've got 7 days to work and I've got to do it. When in reality, the Lord Jesus, the Lord God has told us from the very beginning that you have 6 days to work, and one of those days is a Sabbath unto Him. It's a Sabbath unto Him. It's a way of us saying, Lord, I can't do this. Unless you do this, it's not going to happen. And I don't care what your line of business is, what your line of work is, we work as unto the Lord. This is what He's called us to do. This is what He's called us to do. The second thing, really quick, is this. It leads us to building a better home, building a home. He points us, not only is He building a house, but He's talking about building a home here. Look at verses 3 through 5. In verses 3 through 5, He says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Now, this feels a little different, doesn't it? Wait a minute. You've been talking about cities. You've been talking about houses. And now you're turning to children. Notice He says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates. So what He's done in verses 1 and 2, He's talked about buildings, He's talked about cities, and now He turns and He starts talking about another thing, about building a family. Talking about building a family. The famous pastor, James Montgomery Boyce, who was the pastor at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, he said about this passage, I want you to hear this. He said, why build a house if not for a home? Why build a home if not for a family? I would go on to say, when you have families and homes, you have to have cities that are built, and you have to have people who are watching over them. You see, all of this passage connects together. And in the day and time in which we live today, we do not think that children are a blessing of the Lord. You can look at it from a sociological standpoint. Did you realize that in all of the major industrialized countries of the world, the Eastern world and the Western world, that birth rates have plummeted? Plummeted. The U.S. is one of those. We are on the cusp. It takes, I don't know how you figure this, but it takes 2.1 children to replicate a society. Do you realize we're almost at the point that we will not even be able to replicate our own society anymore? Japan doesn't know what it's going to do. For the first time in years and years and years, China is not replicating their people. We in the United States, I would like to tell you, we think that children are, well, we're going to put them off as long as we can because we got to make sure that we have the good life. Folks, can I tell you the good life according to the word of the Lord in Psalm 127 is that children are a heritage, they're a reward, and they are arrows. They're arrows. Some of you right now, you're going, Kyle, I've not been blessed with being able to have children right now. You know what? I get that. I understand. You realize it is the Lord's work. But I want to tell you, listen, that when you bring children into your home, whether it is natural adoption, did you realize that through adoption, there is not a better picture of the gospel? You realize the scripture tells us that all of us are adopted children into the family of God. So whether it is through natural birth, whether it is through adoption, whether it is through fostering. This past week, I was on the phone with a family lawyer here in town for one of our members having a conversation. And at the end of it, they're not even members of our church. At the end of that conversation, she said, I have one other thing I want to tell you, Pastor Goen. I don't have that word said a whole lot, Pastor Goen. I said, well, what would you like to tell me? She said, I know about your church, and your church is known in Rutherford County because you guys get in the middle of all kinds of foster situations. You're willing to step into very, very difficult things. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. I want to say to you, listen, Children are a blessing of the Lord. Listen, when I see families, I don't care if they're large or small, you know what? I get a grin. I get a smile. You know why? Because I know excitement's happening. I know there's fun. There's all kinds of, like, families are growing. I'm looking ahead because of what I know now. Graduations, marriages, grandkids, all of those things. But I also know this. With all kinds of kids, there can be issues. There can be trouble. There can be growth. It's like they're on my nerves. What am I going to do? I have parents calling me, literally parents calling me, going, what am I going to do about this situation? I understand. Okay, we're going to try to help with these. Listen, some of it is I've got to have a larger house. I've got to have a bigger backyard. We need more bathrooms. Right? Anybody know where I can get some beds? I got kids all around here, especially if you're fostering. You're trying to figure out what are you going to do. Folks, I want to say to you, just like building a house is important, building a family is important. And bringing children in is very, very important in the eyes of the Lord. Children are a blessing to the Lord. And can I tell you that I want to see more and more babies born around here. I want to see more kids adopted around here. Thank you if you've opened your home to adopt. I want to see more kids fostered around here. Thank you for what you do. Keep doing that, because you know what happens when families grow? Generations go on. This is what the scripture talks about. Generations go on. Right now, you're sitting back here and you're going, Kyle, what are you wanting us? What are you doing? What is this? Houses and cities and families and all of these things growing. What is this? This past, 2 weeks ago, our staff went on a staff retreat. We got away and we began to ask ourselves this very thing. How do we keep this house, Riverdale House? How do we keep our houses? I mean, listen, we're working. And I want to say thank you. We have so many people here who are working in this house. But how do we keep from it being in vain? What do you mean in vain, Kyle? Listen, we're sending out missionaries. We're doing this. And we've got people in the third service. This next service, we're going to have a young lady, Rebecca Anderson, baptized. Really looking forward to that. We're baptizing people. All of these things are happening. What do you mean? How do you keep what's happening at Riverdale from being in vain? Well, I want to say this. I want to say this. If it is not from the Lord and He is not the one doing it, it's all going to be in vain. We at LifePoint, and I'm going to speak for me for a second. This place, this house, this people is not going to be about personality or performance or programs. This house is going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to work as unto Him with everything that we do. Now, I want to say there's a lot of big personalities around here. We got a lot of programs because we have a lot of people. But ultimately, it is about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Kyle, how do you plan to do that? Well, we're going to do exactly what the Lord Jesus told in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember the Sermon on the Mount when He got all the people together? 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 people when it's all told. Could have been upward to 15,000, they say. 5,000 men, it says. He was preaching, and one of the things that he told them was, he says, listen, you guys are worried about where your food's going to come from, where your shelter's going to come from, how you're going to be clothed. He says, listen, the birds, the flowers, they're not anxious. They're not losing sleep over these things. I care for them. Our Father cares for them. And he closed with Matthew 6:33. Do you remember in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. All these other things. Folks, listen. Our motivations matter. Your motivations matter. What kind of home you're building, what kind of house you're developing, what kind of family you're developing. My kids need to do this, this, and this because I want people to know this is who we are. My kids went off the rail. I got to get that fixed because that looks bad on me. Do you realize as churches, maybe this happens in your world. Maybe you even have thought this. At Riverdale, we're not concerned about being the biggest church, the best church, the best campus. We're not worried about having a cool vibe. Do you know what Riverdale needs to be worried about? Seeking first the kingdom of God. And everything else is up to him. So how are we going to do that? Well, I think Psalm 127 gives us a picture, and I'm going to give you four things. Please write these down, because today, if you're a part of this house, this is what I'm calling us to today. This is what we're going to be pointing us to the rest of this year and on in. This is a launch point for us. Number one, for us to be able to seek first his kingdom, I want us to be focused on spiritual children. You go, spiritual kids. Let me tell you something. We have so many people getting saved in this body. The Lord God is saving people. That I would compare that to natural birth. We have children who are being saved. Parents who are pouring into their kids, they're getting saved. We have people who are being adopted into the kingdom of God, and then they're wanting to be adopted into this family and come join here, who don't know a whole lot about the scripture. Do you know what we need? Spiritual fathers and mothers. You remember in the scripture, one of the metaphors of the church is a family. It's a family. And in a family, you have uncles and aunts and mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandparents. You have brothers and sisters. Do you realize as a family of God, we are brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles? Well, more than that, you are a spiritual father and a mother. If you know Jesus Christ and you're a part of this church, this is what I'm calling you to today. We have a lot of spiritual children. I'm not just talking babies. I'm talking like 40-year-old men. I'm talking about 35-year-old women. I'm talking about teenagers, college students. And we are going to be about what Titus 2 talks about. The older women pouring into the younger women. The older men pouring into the younger men. And I don't care where you are. Do you remember in this passage in Psalm 127? It says, blessed are the children of your youth. Ain't any of us in here getting any younger? Today, you're as young as you will ever be. And I want you to have spiritual children in this body. I need you to have spiritual. We need you to have spiritual children in this body. People that you are saying, hey, come follow me as I follow Christ. Some of you are very worried about that because you're thinking, I don't do a very good job of following Christ. Well, we want to help you follow Christ better. We want you to jump in here. We need spiritual fathers and mothers. And the Lord has set you here for that. Some of you are serving in kids ministry. Thank you. You're holding babies and praying over babies. You're working in youth ministry. Thank you for all that. I'm asking, would you take one person this year and say, I want to walk with you? Men, get a man. Ladies, get a lady. An older, mature believer pouring into someone. Someone may go, I want somebody like that. I don't know where to find them. Someone's going, I want to do it. I don't know how to find them. Hey, listen, I'm not online dating, but come get me and I'll help you get connected. We need spiritual fathers and mothers for you to be pouring your life. So what do I do with that? Well, number two is that you're going to be pouring your life discipling another person. Discipling another person. Follow me. Follow me. Listen, I'm not perfect at this. I'm learning. Come learn with me. Come walk with me. You may feel like you're only two or three steps down the road from them. Well, that's all right. You're two or three steps ahead. You're two or three steps ahead. For it not to be in vain, and we're seeking first his kingdom, then we have to be about the things that he says are important. We know that being spiritual fathers and mothers to others are important. We know that pouring our lives into another in discipling relationships, it's important. These are the things that the Lord God has given us. Beginning Wednesday, I don't know if you heard Heath say this, but beginning Wednesday, I'm going to be leading a class called How to Study the Word. You're not certain on how to take the Bible and open it up and begin to feed yourself, let alone feed someone else. Come be a part of it. Would you please register for it? But please come be a part of it. We want to help you with that. We want you to be able to walk in the lives of others, because this is what the Lord God has called us to. That's what this house is going to be about. The third thing is this, and I make no bones about it. This is going to be, this church, these people, us, we're going to be an evangelistic body. We're going to be an evangelistic body. We're going all in on telling our friends and neighbors about Jesus Christ, telling our coworkers, the people we sat next to in the second period, all in. You hear me talk about all the time, go proclaim. Well, let me tell you, evangelism, the word evang means good news. The evangel, the good news. You're going to go tell the good news, and we're going to train you how to do that. Some of you are going, I want to, but I don't know how. We're going to fix it. We're going to have some training on that. Help you understand how to, what do I say? How do I do this? How do I walk in this? In every area of our ministry. If you're in ladies' ministry, we're going to train you how to share the gospel. If you're in men's ministry, we're going to train you how to share the gospel. If you're in student ministry, we're going to train you how to share the gospel. You know why? Because that work will never be in vain. Jesus said, go make disciples. Do you realize we can't train you how to walk as a disciple if you're not a disciple? Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe. That word observe means obey. Not Kyle. The word of the God. The word of God. How do I obey what it is that he says? We need you as spiritual fathers and mothers to be discipling and then to be, just to be real honest with you, birthing more spiritual babies. Telling the gospel. Speaking that word. Number four, it's the last thing. Every area of this house of people, is going to have prayer all through it. Have prayer all through it. Any of you ever been on a diet? Some of you embarrassed to raise your hand. I got you. When you get on a diet, you like start doing this thing. And when you start eating broccoli for four meals a day, at some point you get tired of eating broccoli or whatever it is that you're doing and you get off of that thing. Here's what I want to tell you. We're not going to go on a diet. We're going to change our diet. We're changing it. And when I say prayer is going to be in every aspect of our ministry, it's going to be in our preschool classes. It's going to be in our youth world. It's going to be in our kids' meetings. It's going to be in our worship services more. It's going to be in everything we do. But it's not just going to be that. Do you know what I want? I want when you walk down the hall and you talk to somebody, you don't say, hey, I'll pray for you this week. I want you to pray for them right then. I want when you're in Publix and you're on aisle 9 and you're having a conversation with somebody, I want you to pray for them right then. Do you know what's going to happen when you do that? It's going to open the door for more spiritual conversations with somebody. So you've got to know how to share the gospel. When you're at the ball field, I want you to be praying for people. When you walk out this door, I don't want you to slap somebody in the back and say, see you next week. I want you to stop and have prayer with them. Jesus said that my house is going to be called a house of prayer. How are we going to keep, listen, how are we going to keep from doing the things we do and they be in vain, empty, worthless, fleeting, a vapor? We're going to seek first the things of God. We're calling spiritual fathers and mothers to pour their lives into spiritual babies, to make more spiritual babies share their faith, to pray them across the finish line, because there is nothing that we do here that's going to count for anything if the Lord Jesus is not building it. You know, when Jesus became incarnate, God in flesh, Luke 2:40 says that his parents took him to the temple, and when they took him to the temple, it says that he was circumcised, and Luke 2:40 says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with men. You ever thought about the fact that Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor, in stature and in favor with men? The next time you see him, he gets lost, so to speak. Luke 2, you keep going. They end up back at the temple when he's around 12 on one of these pilgrimages. They may have sung the songs of ascent as they were going back up. Mary and Joseph get 3 days away from Jerusalem and realize, oh no, where my boy? He gone. They turn around and go back. They get back and they find Jesus, and Jesus said, he's with the elders, and he looks at him and he says, didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? As you read in the Gospels, when Jesus is questioned or when he's talking to his disciples, he says, you know, I only do what I hear the Father say to do. He says, I speak what I hear the Father say speak. John chapter 17, his prayer at the close of his ministry that night before he was to be crucified the next morning, Jesus said, I've accomplished all that you've sent me to do. On the cross, his last words were, it's finished. Folks, I want to say this. This body, this house, this people, we're going to do what Jesus did. We're going to hear the word, and then we're going to do what the word says. We're going to let the Father be the one, the Holy Spirit be the one to empower it. We're going to follow what he says. And when we follow what he says if we seek first his kingdom, growth, babies, spiritual growth, people getting saved. Do you know what's going to happen when you seek first his kingdom and do the things that the Father commands us to do? All the other things take care of themselves. That doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. It's going to be messy. There's going to be growth. It's going to mean that we have to reorder our house. We're going to have to reorder our finances. We're going to have to reorder our schedules. Things we don't want to do because it doesn't meet my preferences, we may have to start doing them. Because, listen, when the family grows and he gives blessing, we just do. Here's what I can guarantee you, though. When the Lord is building the house, we'll sleep peacefully. I promise you. It won't be anxious toil. We're still going to be working. You're still doing programs. We're still going to be singing. We're still going to go out. We're going to do all those things. But it ain't going to be for us. I'm not saying that it has been for us. I don't believe that it has. But I want to say there's a renewed effort. There's a renewed effort. Today, if you don't know Christ the Savior, we invite you to know him. Today, in fact, what I'd like for you to do if you don't, come see me out the back. I'm going to be out the door and to the left. I'll be standing out there. I want to talk with you. Our staff would love to talk with you. Maybe today you've realized, oh, man, I am a follower of Christ. I've got to get in the game. Come talk to us. We want to walk with you and help you do that. Here's how we're going to close today. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're not going to sing today. Today's one of these days where we're going to go out in the name of the Lord, and we're going to go practice what we've already been talking about. Father, I love you. I magnify you. Father, I am blessed by this body. Thank you for putting my family here. Thank you for how you have so radically reoriented our lives with this body. And Lord, I want to ask that this house, that we would do nothing that you're not involved in, that our motivations would be about seeking your kingdom first. Father, that we would be spiritual mothers and fathers, that we would be disciplers, that we would be evangelists, that we would be people who are coming before you, asking you to do the work that only you can do. And then we'll sit back and give you glory. Lord, empower us and strengthen us to do the work you've called us to do, but not to rob you of the glory that is due only to you. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. And all of this house says, amen. Amen.